All right, beloved friends, this is Dr. Jim Bertel coming to you live from my home in Maumelle, Arkansas, and I just got a text message from Daryl Anderson. Daryl is in Florida, and he says, all good here. I don't know whether you have you ever met Daryl, Mike?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, he's the missionary friend of mine that I met in Mililani, Hawaii, about 1989, and he's now serving as a missionary in Mindanao, and he's home here on vacation for a couple of months and be here in Little Rock probably by the end of somewhere around the end of July. But he just says all good down here in Florida, so he's listening. It sounds good down there. But we normally start the program by just saying that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Mike, we're going to give our folks 15 seconds time to prepare themselves for the program this morning through confession of any post-salvation sins that they might need to get rid of. And then if you'll give them about 15 seconds and they conclude in prayer, we'll get on with the program, Mike.
Okay? Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for the opportunity to be able to discuss your truth over the airwaves
mm-hmm.
here. We pray that both Dr. Jim and I will be using divine viewpoint as we express our views.
Mm-hmm.
And we just pray that all those out there that are listening will be edified by it. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Folks, listen, if for any reason at all you want to call in, our studio number is tied up with Mike, but if you want to call in with a comment, a question, or something like that, why don't you call my cell phone? It's 501-944-1678. Mike, remind me throughout the program, and we'll keep giving that out in case somebody doesn't get that down. It's 501-944-1678. And you're welcome to call in with your comments or your questions, and we'll pose those to Mike and let him give you an answer, okay? Mike, we are normally starting the program by giving your website and your email address just in case somebody wants to get in touch with you, and I would hope that they would. So why don't you give your website and email address one more time?
Okay, the website is www.countrybiblechurch.us. And my email is mike44gv@gmail.com.
Okie doke. Mike, we've been considering your book in progress. You've titled it Tolerating Tyranny. And I'll tell you what, pal, since we've started this program together, with you being a guest, it's an amazing thing how many times throughout a day, either through an email, something in the news, we're getting a great picture of the tyranny that's taking place in our country today. And we've been dealing with your book, Tolerating Tyranny, one chapter at a time, and we are in chapter 4 right now, having skipped chapter 2 and 3 to go back to that. But we're in chapter 4, dealing with Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. So why don't you pick up right where we left off last week and introduce this in any way you want to, and then move on as you desire, sir, okay?
Okay, what I'd like to do is back up a little bit.
Sure.
If you can find the paragraph that starts with the federal government has grown so large, it's about a page back.
Okay,
see if you can find that.
Okay.
The federal government has grown so large and so corrupt that. Paragraph. Right
okay,
there.
Let me go. What I'm going to have to do is I've deleted everything up to where we are right now, but I can go back and get it though.
Well, you don't have to. You don't have to read it. I just want to inform everyone that that's where I want to start.
Oh, that's good. Okay,
I've added a few things. I don't know, 4 or 5 paragraphs, and I wanted to bring that in before we left.
Do that, Mike. Do that. I'm not going
to
get it. You just go ahead and
okay,
share
this is what we went over last time.
Okay.
The federal government has grown so large and so corrupt it makes little difference who controls any branch of it. Extremely rich power brokers can buy nearly any candidate that they want and outspend all political parties and individual contributors combined. Any candidate that goes against the establishment, that is the insiders in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. will subsequently be destroyed by the media because it's owned and financed by the liberal brokers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I added this paragraph to illustrate that.
Okay.
Federal Reserve illustrates the point. It is owned and controlled by international bankers that operate so secretly that the names of most of the owners remain secret. This unelected, powerful group of men controls our entire economy, and the people don't even know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next paragraph I had already, but I have to read it to
okay.
keep the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Congress routinely passes unconstitutional bills that are signed by the president and allowed by the Supreme Court that violates the rights of the people. Slowly, incrementally, over time, we have tolerated this encroachment to the point where we have become the servants of our own government. Now, these are the few paragraphs that I've added.
Okay.
The Congress and the Senate routinely pass bills that go against the rights of the people. They are signed by the president and the Supreme Court, and when they are contested. A few of the more recent ones are the Benghazi embassy debacle,
mm-hmm.
the Patriot Act's authorization of warrantless searches, the National Defense Authorization Act that authorizes, which has the authorization of indefinite detention of U.S. citizens,
mm-hmm.
and the Affordable Health Care Act, Obamacare,
mm-hmm.
that has potential of ruining the health care system in America.
Mm-hmm.
These bills are several hundred pages long, and the Congress and the Senate sometimes only have a few hours to read them before they vote.
Mm-hmm.
The Obamacare law has 961 pages, consisting of 2,163,744 words.
Mm-hmm.
The King James Version of the Bible contains 830,314 words. That makes Obamacare regulations 2.5 times as long as the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no way that the Congress and the Senate had a thorough understanding of what was in the bill when they voted on it. One thing for certain, it was loaded with pork and enticements to persuade other members of Congress to vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them just vote along party lines unless they are pressured by special interest groups or by enticements in the bill to do otherwise. One reason we are $17 trillion in debt and are losing our rights and freedoms is because we have tolerated this kind of reprehensible behavior from our legislatures for such a long time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I added.
Yeah, well, Mike, you know, I just, as you're reading through that, and I'm just, my mind is boggled in terms of why we don't hear outrage. I mean, just unadulterated outrage in our country from our citizens, from our congressmen. Of course, I think that you've already indicated they're in bed with the liberals or with somebody that's paying them or whatever, but it's people like you and me and others. I just think that if we need to scream from the housetop, brother, and let people know what's going on.
I don't know how many people actually realize that these bills are this long. I mean, when you have
yes,
a bill mm-hmm. that's 2.5 times as long as the King James Version of the Bible, and you have people who spend months. Sometimes we have reading lists of the Bible. It gives you how to read through the Bible in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a bill that is 2.5 times as long
mm-hmm.
as the Bible. And we have the legislatures have maybe a couple of hours to read it. That's not even realistic that they have any idea of what is
mm-hmm,
in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the people should demand something be changed, because they stand for these things for reasons other than what is in the bill.
Yeah.
There's no way that they can read it and know what's in it.
Sure enough, yeah.
That's what I was trying to present there, to show how it actually operates. And given an illustration of this Obamacare Act being 2.5 times as long as the Bible, kind of brings it home for people to have some kind of gauge to see how massive these bills are. So, anyway.
Okay, buddy. Well, just move on as you desire.
I'm just going down now to where we left off, which was, I believe, is it in the last phrase?
That's right.
We're dealing with,
is that
where
we Yes, sir.
Ended? Let me read Romans chapter 1, verse 1, first of all, to get us back focused. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And it's that last phrase that we're dealing with now. So in the last phrase of verse 1, we find the word established, which comes from a Greek word which means to place, set, appoint, arrange, or order. That comes from the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament by Spyrios Zodiotis. I always like to say his name. I have such a common name. And I guess I kind of like these different names.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, it is in the perfect tense, which means that God completed the task of arrangement or appointing areas of authority in the past, and the results continue and are still relevant. Since the authority structure to govern man was established by God and delegated by God, anyone who tries to establish his own authority apart from him and the principles set forth in his word has no legitimate, lawful, or biblical authority whatsoever. Then we have a quote from, you know, who our mentor.
Yeah, mine too.
R.B. Thing Jr. Freedom without authority becomes anarchy, in which no one is free. But authority without freedom is tyranny, which ceases to be legitimate authority. No tyrant can remain in power without the consent and cooperation of his victims.
Yes, sir.
It is true that God has used dictators and tyrants in the past to accomplish his plan, but they had no legitimate authority since it was not delegated to them by God. Anyone who uses their authority to abuse others did not receive it from God.
Yes.
And then I have a quote from Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 7. They, this is referring to the Chaldeans, also known as the Babylonians, are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves.
Yes.
The Chaldeans, also known as the Babylonians, were cruel pagans with a ruthless king. King Nebuchadnezzar thought he was answerable to no one, not even to God.
Yeah.
And God sometimes uses pagan nations to discipline his people, but he doesn't approve or bless anyone who ignores his authority and abuses people. So God humbled Nebuchadnezzar, and he eventually became a believer. And I know that you're aware of the account in the Bible where God struck him with a disease, and he was out outside. He was acting like an animal. He would go out and graze with the beast of the field.
Yes.
And it was a number of years. Was it 7 years?
Something like that, yes.
7 years he was like that. And finally he was humbled, and he looked up. I don't even think he could speak, but he humbled himself before God, and this wicked pagan king became a believer.
Yes.
And so the point that I'm making here is that God can use illegitimate authority for his own purposes, but he never condones or blesses that authority because they go against their own people and they are unjust, and God does not delegate that kind of authority, but he can use it. One reason I put this in here is because some people will say, yeah, but what about God and the Babylonians?
Sure.
That was not legitimate authority,
yeah,
was correct. It wasn't legitimate, but God can still use it. In this, yeah, case, even humbled the king and became a believer. So,
yeah,
that's why I put that part in there.
Yeah. Mike, are you aware of the college in the United States? Is called Hillsdale College.
I've heard of it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yesterday, because this is the 4th of July week coming up, Independence Day, I received the newsletter from Hillsdale College called Empiris, Impiris, and in that newsletter there was a Senator Ted Cruz from Texas gave the commencement address at Hillsdale College sometime within the last week or so, and then President Larry Arn actually commemorated Margaret Thatcher, and those two articles were so great that I read them. I read the Declaration of Independence, and then read those two articles, lectures that were given at Hillsdale as my Sunday morning service, and it almost sounded like you had read those articles, or they had read your book. Because there was so much in there that was exactly what we're talking about here. And Hillsdale College is one of probably the premier college in the United States as far as teaching their students about the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and freedom, etc. Really a great college. But that's just a little aside here. On to Romans 13, too, sir.
Well, let me ask you something. I mm-hmm. told you about prayer breakfast that myself and a number of men from Country Bible Church went to hear,
okay,
Senator Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz, which is also a pastor.
Yes.
I told you about that, right?
No, sir, you didn't tell me about it, but I read about that guy, his dad coming from Cuba in 1957 as an 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you tell that story, but I was in Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, at the Naval Hospital when Castro landed on the island and started the revolution down there. And I know what those folks went through during that period of time. So back to you and tell us about that. I didn't know about that.
His dad, Rafael Cruz, thought that Castro was going to be all but the Messiah and trusted him. And then Castro, of course, turned communist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so Rafael Cruz was a teenager at the time and was speaking out against him, and he was thrown in prison. He said he was even tortured.
Yes.
But by the grace of God, he was able to escape and make it to America. And he gave us some understanding of the background that his son Ted had. There was when he was in high school, he and a number of other guys, in the small number, I think it was four or five of them, got together, and they were in a club, and they memorized the Constitution.
Oh.
And they would go to these Rotary groups, and while they were having, the Rotary clubs would be having lunch,
mm-hmm.
Well, these four guys would have these blackboards, and they would write, there would be like four or five different blackboards, and each
mm-hmm.
boy would write his portion of the Constitution from memory.
Wow.
And they would show that, and then they would speak to it. And he was just explaining some of the wonderful principles that Ted was reared on.
Sure enough.
It was very impressive, and we were just pretty well spellbound when he was speaking.
Enough.
He spoke for about an hour.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he is so solidly behind constitutional government.
Yes.
His father, and from what I can tell, his son is the same.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And very well educated, but there's just some people that have a spark. They have an articulation, the way that they can express themselves,
mm-hmm.
and it appears that Ted has that, and I just hope that he will remain in that,
yes,
in that same mode,
mm-hmm.
as he continues his in government. We need to pray for him that he won't be tainted by all,
yes,
of the traps and all of the temptations that are there.
Well, I think
anyway, I just thought I would
yes,
let you know that it was really a great time for all of us.
Man, I wish I'd have been there. I believe he will be a force in 2016 in the Republican Party. I really do. He's a force now, but I think he'll be a force for the presidency for sure.
Well, I'd like to ask you if you could email me those.
I'll do it. Yes, I will.
Speeches, and then I can pass it along to my
kids. Oh, absolutely. When you get a chance, just go out to Hillsdale College. Hillsdale, I think it's hillsdale.com, and you can sign up. Doesn't cost you anything. Sign up for the Empiris, the newsletter. It's a great newsletter every time it comes out, pal.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
But I'll send these to you for sure.
All right, continue with on. The next thing we have here is the second verse of Romans 13,
mm-hmm.
Romans 13, 2. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation on themselves. Then I have a couple of different translations just of the first phrase to make a point.
Mm-hmm, okay.
The King James Version and the New King James Version says, whosoever therefore resists, and the English Standard Version says, therefore, whoever resists.
Mm-hmm.
The context includes anyone, whether citizens or ruler.
Okay.
That's the point that I'm trying to make here, because a lot of people read this and they think that this is only referring to the citizens and not those who are in government,
mm-hmm.
but it's talking about whosoever therefore resists. That would include anyone.
Sure enough.
Where resists is used metaphorically to set oneself in opposition to or in array against, to resist. To the one who resists the order of authority of God has established his opposition against God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ordinance means, it comes from the Greek word diatage, D-I-A-T-A-G-E, mm-hmm. meaning order or arrangement. Here it refers to the order or arrangement of the authority of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a quote from the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. It says, quote, the man who withstands the official authority ordained by God is in conflict with God's ordinance, according to Romans 13:2.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this does not mean that every government decree is God's ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Diatage refers rather to God's ordaining according to verse 1b, which verse 1b we had a moment ago,
mm-hmm.
Would be, well, I'll just read the whole verse again.
Okay.
Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and that's the part it's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1b. And those which exist are established by God.
Mm-hmm.
So when we read this, two things we see already. First of all, that it's referring to everyone, including those who are in authority mm-hmm. in government, and it's referring to the order of authority that God has established.
Well, Mark, we've got people on with us today that have not perhaps been on with us before, and mm-hmm. I'd like for you to make the comment about the fact that just because someone is in authority, we're not required to be obedient to that. I've stated, but you comment on that again if you will.
Okay. When verse 1 says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. In the context in which this is written, especially considering the six verses that follow this, it's talking about legitimate a government, because
mm-hmm.
God certainly does not ordain or establish illegitimate government, and
yes.
illegitimate government is those someone in authority that has de facto a title of authority, but is not submitting to God. When they don't submit to God, and in our country, when they don't submit to the Constitution, then they are outside the boundaries that God has delegated to them. And when they get outside the the boundaries, they lose their legitimacy in their authority, and it no longer demands submission. And that's what we're looking at here when it's talking about, therefore, he who resists, or whoever therefore resists, the ordinance of God is talking about the order of establishment, the way that God has arranged authority, then they have also opposed and will receive condemnation upon themselves. Now, Romans 13, 1 through 7, Paul was delineating the proper way that government is to operate. And the proper way is always inside this order of authority that God has established. And that order means that they don't abuse people, they don't step outside of their delegated authority by being unjust, by breaking an oath. In our country, we have the Constitution, and when anyone who takes an oath to that Constitution and they step outside of that, break that oath, then they're no longer considered legitimate authority, and it requires no submission.
Listen, Mike, I treat my programs and my Sunday morning services, my Monday night home Bible study, not as just another nice Bible class. And even our program today, I don't want our folks out here who listen to this believe that this is just another nice Bible class. Somewhere along the line, there has to be some feet put on our Christian life, where we're going to have to walk this thing. And yesterday, when I was reading through the Declaration of Independence for our people, it was very clear. Jefferson made it very, very clear that, you know, we don't overthrow the government just because they did something wrong yesterday. But when the usurpations of our freedom have taken place again and again and again and again and again and again, he said there comes a point in time when you no longer have to be obedient to that, but in fact you can overthrow that government. Mike, I believe we've come to the point in our country right now. I believe we're at the point where we are just this side of needing to overthrow this government if they continue the path that they're on right now. But of course, one man can't do that, and it wouldn't be just you and me. But and maybe you wouldn't want to be on board. But I'll tell you what, I'm ready to get on board to overthrow this mess, because freedom is the issue in our country, and I'm not here to save the country. I'm here to save souls and lead Christians to maturity so that we can be a part of the resolution of the angelic conflict. And I believe we're just this side of revolution in our country. I sure do.
Well, when you say that just one person can't do something, you're right. I mean, what it takes, first of all, is for the population of this country to understand what their rights are. We've lost that.
Yes.
And unfortunately, one reason that I'm even emphasizing and going point by point over Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, is because they have been misused. These verses have been misused to neutralize Christians into thinking that they have to have unconditional submission to the government, which is absolutely wrong. That is not honoring to God, and that's not what Paul was saying.
Boy.
He's delineating the way a government should work when it is a minister of God for good.
Mm-hmm.
There's conditions upon this. He's
not
even touching, he's not even addressing the issue, okay, what do you do regarding submission when a government has lost its way, when it has become dictatorial, when it's tyrannical? Those things are not addressed here in in these verses. This is addressed to people who have a government that is operating the way that he is delineating it here. And if you don't understand the difference that this is not what we're reading in these seven verses is not pertinent to the government in which we have, because the government which we have is not under God's authority. In fact, they have become tyrannical, and they are opposed to God.
Yes.
And you won't see in these verses anything, okay, what do you do when your government is in opposition to God? when they're no longer a minister of God for good, but now they are ministers of Satan for evil. What do you do now? That is not addressed here.
Mm-hmm.
But there is conditions put upon it. The government has to be a minister of God for good to be within that order, that arranged order of authority that he has given. And when they go outside those bounds, then they lose their legitimacy. And for we have been programmed into thinking going against government in any way, shape, or form, no matter what, is opposed to God, and that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we passed that when we skip from verse 1 over here, chapter 1 to chapter 4,
mm-hmm.
have numerous illustrations of people who went against the government because they were abusive. They went outside their bounds of authority, and they said, no, we're not going to do it. And they did not submit to government, and God blessed them for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, that's one thing that we miss when we go to these verses, but I just wanted to point that out.
Sure enough, yeah.
Because we haven't covered that yet, but once you cover that, then this is more easily understood. That when you unconditionally submit to a government that is abusive, that is evil, then God is not pleased with that, and eventually you become part of that evil as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So,
well, Mike, do you think we need maybe next time, do we need to go back to chapter 2 and chapter 3 before we go on? Or
no, I think we can just press on. It's just that we're missing some of the things.
Sure
that
enough.
Have put this more in context
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
of when you go through the book. By the time you get to this part, excuse me, it's already been embedded in your soul to where this isn't maybe as shocking. I'm not saying it's shocking.
Sure enough, yes.
It's easily received with understanding all that before.
Understand, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. But, excuse me, let me get a sip of water.
Sure enough, buddy.
Okay, let's see. Where are we?
Verse 2.
Continuing in verse 2, I've been flipping around here.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I think we were at the we just finished resist an ordinance, and now you made a comment about the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, and we're now ready to begin verse 2.
Okay, I see now. I got it. Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 2 is based on the premise of verse 1 concerning legitimate authority, which is established by God.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who resists legitimate authority, whether he is a citizen who robs a bank or a government official who oppresses or subjugates a citizen, is opposing the ordinance of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Many have misunderstood this verse because they think it only pertains to the people and not their leaders. Mm-hmm. But it applies to both because both answer to God for their actions. In our system of government, officials are not only answerable to God, they must be answerable to the people as well. At least, that is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I think that has changed. I think that they have become the masters and we've become the servants.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All authority delegated by God is legitimate, but it is always limited. When a husband, parent, a pastor, a boss, a policeman, a judge, a senator, a congressman, or a president abuses those under their authority, then meaning their authority becomes illegitimate.
Mm-hmm.
They have gone beyond the authority God delegated to them, therefore submission is no longer required. That is certainly the case when any government official breaks his or her oath to abide by the Constitution and Bill of Rights. So here's another look at the first part of verse 2. I've just added some things in brackets here. Therefore, he, in brackets then, citizen or ruler,
mm-hmm.
who resists, and in brackets I have legitimate authority, has opposed the ordinance, and in brackets I have the order or arrangement of authority of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I put those brackets in to help understand what I see the context, the meaning of that is.
Absolutely.
Then we have a quote from Rojas Rushdoony.
Yeah.
He said, It should be noted that John Adams, in opposing the idea of sovereignty, listed on the necessity of, insisted on the necessity of a double responsibility in civil government, to earth, that is, society, and to heaven, or God. Responsibility connotes subordination. We are under those to whom we are responsible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Man, however, and civil government are and must be responsible agencies. If transcendental responsibility, the subordination to God, that would be by government, be removed, then man becomes a creature of the state and responsible to it,
mm-hmm.
and the aseity, or the self-derived being of the state, is asserted. And that's a little bit harder to understand. They really spoke in a higher type of vocabulary.
The King's
forth.
English.
Yes, but what he's essentially saying is that both man and government have to be responsible, answerable to someone,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and that for the government, that is not only answerable to, in our system, to man, but they're also to subordinate themselves to God.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't got to this verse yet, but several times it says in these verses, between verses 1 and 7, that government is a minister of God. He is a servant of God. He's responsible to God. He's answerable to God. And people, I want to say that emphatically, because people don't understand that today.
Mm-hmm.
They think that you have God in a box over here and you have government in a box over here, and we're supposed to subordinate to God, but our most immediate authority is government. And God requires us to always submit to that, and that's wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that we are always to be subordinate to the highest authority, the sovereign authority, which is God himself. And when we have intermediary authorities between God and ourselves,
mm-hmm.
then and they go contrary to God, we have to remember they're answerable to God as well. And that's what I think people are missing sometimes.
Mike, let me ask you a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, one is not bad, but 10 is the worst. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you assess our present government administration to be on that scale of 1 to 10 in terms, if that was a scale regarding tyranny? Where would you assess our present government tyrannically?
I'd say probably about a 9.
Okay.
I some people would think a 10, but I think it can get worse.
Oh, I think it can too,
I think
yes.
It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
It feels like a 9 right now,
mm-hmm.
and for some people they might be shocked. Well, what do you mean, a tyranny, a 9? How can that be?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is the low information crowd.
Yes.
That comes up with that idea.
Yes.
And there's another part that, before we got to these verses in another chapter, where I go into great detail how many people benefit from the system the way it is. And they have no interest in seeing us really operating under the Constitution and having the freedoms
mm-hmm.
that it provides, because they benefit usually financially by the status quo. And that's why a lot of people don't understand what level of tyranny there is in this country,
mm-hmm.
because they really don't care that much about freedom. They care about having their place at the government trough, the feeding trough,
mm-hmm.
the largesse that the government is just throwing in every direction, which they have no constitutional authority to do, but they do it anyway.
Well, Mike, at what point, and quite honestly, I agree with you in terms of the government tyranny, where you've put them. I'm sort of surprised, and I'm pleased, but surprised that you put it that high. I thought maybe you might say 8 or 7, but to put it at 9, that raises the next question then, and that is that for our listening audience and for anybody else that may hear this and anybody else that we come in contact with and make these kind of comments, at what point do we say no, no more? And it's got to be, Mike, it's got to be more than just calling your congressman and saying no more, no more, no more. At what point do we say no more and we rise up against this government in whatever way?
I think that individually each person has to decide what hill they're going to die on. In other words, where are they going to make a stand and say, I will not abide this.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see as a problem is I think that probably a lot of people are at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But when you make a stand individually, it's more dangerous than when you
Absolutely.
Do it collectively.
Absolutely.
And I think that at least I see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, because we have even some of the lower echelon of government recognizing that we are getting in desperate straits and making a few moves to do what is right. And what I'm talking about is the nullification, that we have state governments out there that recognize that the federal government is out of control.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Obamacare is one of the things that a lot of states are drawing the line, and they're saying that they're passing laws that will not it will not implement what the federal government has dictated.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that as well, is that the federal government is imposing on the states the practicality of implementing this humongous healthcare issues that it's so complicated, and some of the states are just saying, no, we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, the federal government can put out all of these dictates, but they depend upon the state governments to comply with what they have declared in order to make it work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when the states say, nope, not going to do it, well, then that's one area where I can see some a little bit of hope.
Yes.
They're doing that, and we need a lot more of that. That's called imposition. When the lower echelon of authority in government stands up and says, no, we're not going to do it, they're imposing themselves or positioning themselves between the people and a higher authority that is being abusive.
Mike, are you aware that there are doctors across this country now that are opting out of taking insurance payments for health claims?
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you, I'm all for that. I hope we can find one here in this area that's going to do it, because I'm headed for that doctor just as soon as I find it.
Well, I am as well. The problem is that these disasters are already in motion. They've already been implemented, but we haven't felt the full brunt of them yet. Haven't even hardly begun.
Yes, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But as they start implementing these things and the crunch starts to press itself on the people, then you're going to have an outcry. But what I'm afraid of is that it's going to be too late, that we're going to have massive exit of doctors out of the profession.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
I think that's already in the making. And I've heard that the insurance, the health insurance, for those who are paying it now, may double.
Mm-hmm.
If my insurance premiums for my health care double, there's no way I can afford it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have the opposite effect of what was promised, and you're going to have such a complete fiasco in health care.
Mm-hmm.
Only God knows what's going to occur. But I think that we're at the point where we still have some hope if these lower echelon of government will stand up and pass laws that this will not, we will, it's them saying, no, we're not going to do it.
Sure enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but for individuals, we must make our choices of when we're going to say no. I don't think that to overthrow the government sounds too much like revolution to me.
I understand.
I think what we need to do is, if enough people said no, for instance, on the income tax, let's just take that as an example.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you have massive millions of people who just say, we're tired of this broken down, abusive system,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not going to do what? There's not enough jail to hold everyone.
Okay.
That's where the power of the people is when they group together as a group. Mm-hmm. And there has been times in our country when they have done that.
Yes.
And the government has backed down. They have no choice. And it always goes back, I think, to the people get the government they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to be ignorant, uneducated with regards to your rights, if you're going to be afraid, and you're going to let these tyrants rule over you and just roll over and take it,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to get tyranny. You're going to wind up like Germany, essentially, and you deserve it. God has given us volition, and there always is that other side of the coin of volition, which is we are responsible for the choices and decisions that we make.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when people decide to when they decide to spend their time not getting the Word of God and seeing what the biblical principles are regarding citizens and their believers and their government, when they rather concentrate on the TV or go to ball games and they don't educate themselves, when they listen to the nightly news and believe that that's the gospel and they don't question it, all of these things are going to have a toll. And what I think this program, your program, is doing, and hopefully what my mm-hmm. my book will do whenever it gets out,
mm-hmm.
is to educate people,
sure.
and wake them up, because we've been mm-hmm. lied to for so long that people over time start unquestionably submitting to anything that comes down the line. And that is not... What I'm saying is, there are times when you are to disobey a mm-hmm. government that has stepped out
yeah.
outside the bounds that God has given mm-hmm. given them, and you say, no, not going to do it.
Yeah.
And God blesses that. And I have,
yeah.
like I said earlier, so many illustrations
yeah. Yeah.
in the Bible where God blessed people who did that.
Sure enough.
We are individuals. We have to think for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we are responsible to... First of all, educate ourselves to what God would have us do according to His Word. But then we also have to be responsible and stay up, be informed about what's going on around us. You know, in the news, it seems like nearly daily we hear of another scandal, another thing that is so blatantly anti the Constitution that government is doing, that we need to be informed about these things.
Sure.
A lot of people just wave their hands and say, our job is not get to into Christian activism,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
God
mm-hmm.
will take care of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They just they're not involved in these things.
Yes.
And we've gone so far from that black regiment of the colonial days, and
sure.
these people who had, listen, they were under oppression. And they went against the strongest nation on earth. No one had even an inkling that America was going to be able to come out victorious
mm-hmm.
in this first war of independence.
Sure enough.
I don't call it a revolution
no.
because they didn't invade England. They weren't trying to overthrow England.
No.
They just wanted to be left alone, and I think that's what we need to
sure.
do. What we want is to just be left alone. Isn't that what you want?
Sure. Let me ask this. Do you believe that our present tax system is oppressive?
Oh, it is reprehensible. It's a joke.
Okay, then I got a question then. Do you want to start the tax rebellion or do you want me to start it? Wait a minute. Do you want to start it or do you want me to start it? Why don't we get together and do maybe a 3 to 4 minute video? We'll put it up on YouTube and GodTube and invite people to join us, and we're just going to tell them we're not going to pay our taxes. No more. Not until it gets straightened out.
Well, the only problem is when you do that.
I know we're going to jail. I know that. I know that. But listen, that's the price you have to pay.
Well, I think that's certainly an important issue. I'm not trying to say that that's not important. But I'm not sure if I want to die on that hill. There's others that I think. Mm-hmm. That I'm more would be more emphatic about, mm-hmm. And one of them is the Second Amendment right.
Mm-hmm.
If each person has to decide what they're going to do, I think people today are more afraid of carrying a weapon when they travel. They're more afraid of the government and what it will do to them for carrying a weapon without a permit or a license or whatever the state's requiring, then they are the criminals. I really believe that. I think that's the fact. And people have to decide, am I going to acquiesce to every dictate that the government makes? Or am I just going to do what is right? God has given me the right to defend myself. The Constitution has given me the right to defend myself, and I'm not going to have to comply with the dictates that I have to have a permit from the state when this is a God-given right and it's given in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is each individual has to decide whether they're going to do that or not. And if a person gets stopped, if I got stopped and someone was going to some officer was going to take my weapon away because I didn't have a permit, and I explained that I don't know under what auspices you're trying to take this weapon away from me. I'm law abiding. I've never been arrested, never did any, none of these things have ever happened to me. God gives me the right to protect myself in this fashion. The Second Amendment gives me this right. And if everybody did that, then all this other nonsense, all these gun control laws and everything, they can make a million of them if they want to. But if the people say, no, that doesn't apply to me because I answer to a higher power, and I know that I have that right because God gave it to me. And under that, all this nonsense about all this gun control mm-hmm. would be just a tempest in a teapot.
Yeah, but see, I hear what you're saying, and I understand. But for me, carrying a concealed weapon, or even having one out in the open. But let's say it's concealed. I don't ever have to do anything about that until I get stopped, and I'm not out there waving at the policeman when I go by and asking him to stop me so I can show him that I've got a concealed carry. But I know this. Every April 15th, I'm going to have to pay my taxes, and mm-hmm. so to me that's equally important as the Second Amendment. But I just feel like that I would certainly go for a tax rebellion in this country. I sure would.
Well, I would. What we have today is this progressive income tax.
Yes, sir.
That is so convoluted that no one can really decide what it is. I mean, even in the IRS itself, when they don't even agree mm-hmm. on, because it's so complicated and convoluted. And when a person has to sign under penalty of perjury, when they fill out this form, mm-hmm. that it is all correct, and it's just pretty much a guess. It depends on whoever will be looking at that or trying to decipher it or whatever.
Sure enough. Mm-hmm.
It's like putting your head in a chopping block. And that people should not have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I said, listen, I just signed 2 pieces of paper yesterday and sent them into the state Secretary of State, indicating that if I had made a misstatement on this concerning my 501c3, that if I made any mistakes, or if I, you know, was guilty of perjury, it was like $100 fine and 30 days in jail.
That makes me nauseated.
Yeah.
I mean, even the 501c3, I think we already discussed that,
yes,
how Lyndon
mm-hmm.
Johnson brought that in and how it came about.
Yeah.
And it became the law of the land.
Sure enough.
All we need, first of all, is the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law,
mm-hmm.
Establishment of religion, or abridging the free exercise thereof, which means they can't do anything to abridge the freedom of religion. And that includes taxes. The government never has had the right, I'm talking about under our Constitution, the right
mm-hmm.
to tax
mm-hmm.
churches. So why would you have to fill out all these forms and agree to all these things to become a corporation under the state?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that has nothing to do with the freedom of religion.
Yeah.
It goes to the First Amendment. The people wanted to make sure that they had that freedom.
Yeah.
And yet now they act as if this is something that is required. And you know, even I've done some reading on this. In fact, I have a book that is, if you hadn't got it, I think you might get it. It's
okay.
called In Caesar's Grip. And
okay.
it's by Peter Kershaw.
Okay.
Kershaw.
Okay.
And it's not a real long book, but I think once you start reading it, you won't be able to put
okay.
it down.
Okay. Gotcha.
And it goes into the history of this, and the state will say, okay, if you want to become a corporation under government,
yeah.
you know, we'll comply with your wishes. We'll put you under our regulations, but it's not mandatory. You see, when I started my church,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know any better. I thought, well, if you're going to be a church, this is what you need to do. This
that's
is what you
what
have
I
to do.
Too.
But it's not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's voluntary. Is what
yeah.
I'm saying. And why would you want to do it when
mm-hmm.
you don't need to?
Well, you know, if I had to do it over again, I would just ignore that. But the interesting thing is that I bought the lie, I think early on, that if you weren't 501c3, no one would give to it because they want the tax deduction.
Well, I did when I got into that. That didn't make me any difference
mm-hmm.
personally. I thought, well,
yeah.
if a person wants to contribute to further a ministry where they're growing spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Then if the only reason they're doing it is because they're getting a tax write-off,
yep.
I don't care to have them there anyway.
Absolutely. That's the way
and I've said this periodically in my church, that we don't take contributions from unbelievers, and any believer that is giving grudgingly
mm-hmm.
or out of compulsion,
yep.
we don't need that either.
That's right. Excellent.
What we want are people who are so thankful for how God has blessed them,
yes.
and they're contributing to a ministry that they see as furthering the truth of God's word,
mm-hmm.
and whether they get a deduction or not means absolutely nothing to them.
Absolutely.
And if I get anybody at my church, if they're getting just because it's a deduction, in other words, if they didn't get the deduction, they wouldn't give. Then I've been failing in my job and teaching them about the grace of God, or
sure
else
enough.
They hadn't been listening.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, we're about out of time again, so why don't you wrap it up just however you want to, and we'll just come back next week and pick up right where we left off.
Okay, well, I always like to thank those who are listening.
Absolutely.
I'm so thankful for you, because otherwise it's just Dr. Jim and myself talking to each other, and I always really enjoy talking to him. But the whole purpose of this show is
yeah.
for people like yourselves to listen,
absolutely.
Hopefully that you might learn something, and be able to pass it along.
Amen.
Because it's very late in the day regarding the suffering that we're undergoing in this country, and what I think is unneeded suffering because of the abuse that we and oppression that we're under. And we're trying to see the biblical standpoint of what we are to do. And I just want to thank you for being interested enough to tune in. And if again, if you have any questions, any comments or anything, you can call the number for Dr. Jim, or you can call me, you can email me, or whatever you can. I just want to, again, thank you for tuning in and being a part of this.
Okay, Mike, God bless you, buddy, and thank you for being with me today. We'll look forward to next Monday, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, folks, I've just shut down my recording, and I want to thank Mary Morgan for being on with us this morning from Brenham, Texas, and Kat Kennedy is on with us this morning. Good morning, Kat, and God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Kim Williams from Little Rock, Roger Lamuco from Davao City, Mindanao, Daryl Anita Anderson in Cape Coral, Florida, for listening there. God bless all four of you down there, and thanks for being with us. Also, Ed Hall's band from Easton, Maryland, Dub and Joyce Blackwood from Little Rock, and anybody else who may have come through the back door. This will be up on iTunes sometime by this afternoon, I'm sure. And I'll be back again in 1 hour and 15 minutes. Probably I will. I'll just leave this on, let the music run. I'm going to shut it down. Shut down my encoder, and that's going to shut you down out there. If you want to be back with me at 11:15 with IQ Al Razuli, Islam 101. We're trying to show that Islam is not a religion of peace, but it's a religious cult. It's a political cult is what it is, and we're exposing that for our listening audience. And like for you to be on with us at that point in time. Then tonight at 7 o'clock, we have the Monday Night Home Bible Study. We're dealing with the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer, and you're welcome to log in there. Log into all of our programs exactly the same way you came in this morning, and I appreciate it so much your being with me today. God bless all of you, and we'll see you again either in an hour and 10 minutes or so, or the next time you log on. God bless you, and see you later. Bye-bye now.